I think I have a class.
Oh, you're not answering.
No, that's fine.
Is that an eagle?
I don't know.
Good evening. We're gonna get started.
But it was
a little late, I'm sorry.
So I took a picture of it.
Everybody stay wet.
So I've got a picture of it on my camera.
Raining out there. I'm glad it's not snow.
Amen.
They told us it was supposed to. Huh?
That's what I kept saying, thank God it's not snow.
They told us it was supposed to be snow. I'm so glad they're wrong 50% of the time.
Me too.
Aren't you? All right, amen. Ginny?
Yes, sir.
Will you open our time and prayer, please?
I will. Father God, we just come to you together tonight, Lord. Ask that you open our hearts, open our minds, open our beings so that we can learn your word, give Pastor understanding and able to teach us in a way that we can hold on to and take back with us. And Father God, we just thank you for our week. Thank you for all the things you've done for us, the blessings you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that you have gotten us through, yes, and those Lord, that you are seeing us through as we've talked. Lord, we just thank you for everything you do to us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus. Amen.
We're going to jump in your notes to page 12, because the rest we did last week, but you didn't have any notes. So I printed up the notes and then gave them to you so you can read that whenever you wish. Very important. I hope you look at the pronouns at the top of page 12 and go through that. It's very, very self-explanatory. And the difference between those that are going to be required to go through the tribulation and those that are not. Two separate groups of people. But the parables tell us a whole lot. What did Jesus say was the purpose of the parables?
Because they didn't understand.
Yeah. They didn't want to understand. Mostly it was. But he spoke in parables, and then he explained them, and the parables are self-explanatory if you understand the Old Testament, which they did.
Right.
Which they did. So there are, I think, what did I put down here, three or four of them? Yeah, three parables that help us with the rapture of the church. The first one is the parable of unexpected thief. Unexpected thief. Now, let me ask you a question. And this is logical. I don't do trick questions. I just don't do that. And so I don't want you to think way up in the heavenlies. I want you to think down here on earth with your feet planted on solid ground, okay? Jesus is coming as a thief in the night, correct?
Yes.
We all agree on that. So the question is, for whom?
Us.
No.
Oh, the thief part is coming for the unbelievers.
He's coming for the unbelievers. Think of, let me back the boat up here a little bit. The Godhead is what? Right? Okay. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus?
Sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah, where's the Father?
On the throne.
Okay, where's the Holy Ghost?
In us.
In us.
Are they separate?
No.
So, when the Father says to the Son, it's time, tell Gabriel to blow the trumpet, is the Holy Ghost going to have any idea what's happening?
Yes.
Of course they're one. So they're going to know. You are a tri-part being. You are body, you are soul, and you are spirit. If you're ever separated any of those three, what happens?
You die.
You cease to exist. Is it possible for God to cease to exist?
No.
It's impossible. So it's impossible to separate God the Father from God the Son from God the Holy Ghost. Right. When people say he's coming as a thief in the night, and they say that that's for you and me, they don't understand the Godhead.
Right.
Okay? They don't. And it's proven in 1 Thessalonians, and I put it there in the pronouns, 4:1-5:11. The entire chapter 4, all the way, no, 13. It should be, there should be a 3 there. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, all the way to 5:11. He's talking about two groups of people. Yes?
Cheyenne needs to make an announcement. Just sorry to interrupt.
Yes, good. Interrupt.
I think someone's car, the Toyota, like, I think the light inside the car is on. The
light. My pickup?
The little Corolla.
The Corolla?
No, it's a, like, SUV.
Is that
mine?
It's Emmanuel's. It just said Emmanuel. Let the battery run down.
I hope it's not mine.
Thank you, Cheyenne. And you don't have to say sorry or anything. You just raise your hand and tell us.
She was too shy. She made me do it.
Well, you're not shy.
No, I'm not.
Okay. I'm shy about you.
Okay. In First Thessalonians 5, boy, I messed that up.
Terrible.
Cross that out and put 4:13-5:11. See, it should be a 13 there. Okay? So, in 4:13, he's talking about the rapture of the church, right?
12.
What was the problem in the church at Thessalonica?
They were grieving over the dead.
They were grieving over the dead.
And they didn't expect to see them again.
And they were anxious about the coming of the Lord. Yeah. What was the major theme of all the preaching of the early church?
He's coming back.
He's coming back. He's coming. He's coming. Maranatha. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And so that was permeated into people's psyche. And they couldn't separate that. And then they were having funerals, and these people were not supposed to go. Right? Isn't that what he said? This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. So this generation is not supposed to go, but they're dying. So there was a whole lot of confusion. And Paul said, I'll take care of this confusion, because I will simply tell them what's going to happen. So he did. I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do. We do not want you. You, okay? Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. So he kills two birds with one stone: the coming of the Lord and death. See that there? Plain as mud, isn't it? Right? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, we who are left, will be caught up together with them. Who's them?
The dead.
The dead who have risen, right? The dead what? The dead in Christ.
Yes.
Not all the graves are going to open up.
No.
Not all the dead is going to come out. Just those who died in the Lord. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I submit to you tonight that any belief about end time events that does not encourage but sponsors fear and inspires fear cannot be of God. It must encourage.
Amen.
It must encourage, okay? Now concerning the times and the seasons, brother, now what's he talking about? The times and seasons for death? No. Because you can't know when you're going to die. Right? Unless you've been sick a long time and the doctor says you've got 3 days, you still don't know if it's today, tomorrow, or the day after. Right? So he's not talking about death here. He leaves the death part resolved in his mind, and he deals with the rapture part. See? You have no need to have anything written to you. Who's you?
Those believers.
Us. Believers. Corinthians, right? For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. For who? It can't be for us, or we got to throw the Godhead out. Because we've got God living in us. And if we are attentive to the prompting of the Holy Ghost, how many know what I'm talking about when I say prompting of the Holy Ghost? Yeah, you feel that inner stir. You feel it. And this is going to be the most momentous event in human history. So you think the Holy Ghost is not going to be just a little bit of stirring inside of us? A little bit of prompting? No, I think it's going to be like an earthquake going off in our spirit. We're going to know. See? Comes as a thief in the night while people are saying. Who's people?
The world.
Yeah, because he says there is peace and security. I submit to you, no other time in history do we have people saying peace and security like we have right now.
True.
Turn on the news. You saw the news about the 16 gang members that were arrested, and now they don't know whether they're part of a thing that I will not, but they were arrested anyway, and they kidnapped, pulled the fingernails off a lady. How many would like that? Anybody had an ingrown toenail at any one time? First one I had, the nurse removed the toenail without anesthesia.
Oh.
It was not fun. The second one, the doctor gave me anesthesia because I went into a doctor's office. But the first one was on the mission field. So we didn't have any of that stuff. You just sat there and tears ran down your face and you acted like a crybaby. Because it hurt like, okay? They did that to her. That was in the news. And all they could talk about through the entire newscast is what? Security, 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 security. We hear that every single newscast, probably 6 or 7 times, maybe 10, during a newscast. That's what they're saying now. Then sudden destruction will come on. Who's the sudden destruction coming on? Them. That's not us. It's a different group of people. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Do labor pains come on the man or the woman?
The woman.
Yeah. I know men say they felt it. Yeah, right. Yeah, you can go park that truck in a different yard. That dog doesn't bite. I mean, that doesn't make sense. But it's the pregnant woman that has the labor pain. It's not those of us. It's different. It's a different group of people. And you are not in darkness. Now who he's talking about?
Believers.
Yeah, brothers. That day should surprise you like a thief. Does anybody see in that verse what I see? No surprise for those that are in Christ. Glory to God. That's enough to make a... When I discovered this, I had a fight with my mother over this. My father said, glory to God, because that's the way he taught. Because he had never seen it before either. But my mother wanted to fight with me about that. But she came over to the good side, said to me, you should have been a lawyer. And she believed it. She said, I hadn't seen that way. For that day to surprise you like a thief. I love the way the ESV puts it. For you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. The surprise are for those in darkness. We're going to talk about it again Sunday. We talked about it 2 Sundays ago. We are the light of the world. Jesus is light, right?
Yes.
We no longer walk in, I feel like preaching, no longer walk in darkness. We walk in the light. Glory be to God. See? You're not in darkness that day should surprise you, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. He's coming for those of the night as a thief, not for those of the day. okay? For those who sleep, let us not sleep. And then he has advice for us, as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. Anybody see the news report today of a funeral parlor somewhere? Funeral director's got a young guy, probably just got out of college, and he's going to serve booze. He applied for a liquor license so he can serve booze at funerals. Yes. Can you imagine how enlightening funerals are going to be if half of them are drunk? Mm-hmm. It won't be glory, nice things said about the poor dead fella. It'll be the truth. Because a drunk tells the truth. Right? Terrible. But you see, we don't get drunk. We belong to the day, verse 8. So let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Here we go back into the book of Philippians, the helmet of salvation in Ephesians. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like the fact that I will be saved. And that's literally saved. Who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So, the parable about the unexpected thief is a parable that Paul thinks of when he writes this in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. See? Debbie, Matthew 24, 43 through 44. No, Joe. Yeah, notice what I did? I put it in black. Yes.
Yeah. Verse 2, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come. Now, the day of the Lord, is that the rapture? What's the day?
That's the rapture.
That is?
Yeah. The whole tribulation period is the day of the Lord. It's the judgment on Israel for having rejected the Messiah.
Okay, but that's nothing to fear.
No, not for you and I. No, because he makes it very plain who he's coming for as a thief in the night. For them, out there. Yes.
Where is he taking them? What's happening to them? If he says, I come for them.
They're going, us?
No.
Them. He says the destruction's coming upon them and they will not escape. The tribulation period's coming on them and they will not escape.
Okay.
Because you don't die when you have a baby.
Right.
You're still here. So you didn't die.
No, I didn't understand.
You had a lot of pain.
Yeah, they were talking about the 7 years. Not,
yeah.
Okay.
That's the tribulation period.
That's right at the same time as the rapture, then he...
No, the rapture and then the tribulation period, we believe.
Yeah. This is confusing because some pastors say that comes as a thief in the night is for believers. And
how? Yeah, you see, this is a problem. Right. You have to throw out the bulk of who God is and the bulk of Scripture to think that he's going to classify us with those that don't understand Scripture or don't understand his coming.
I always throw it out because what you said to me, to all of us, months and months ago, is that we are the bride. And
yes.
Why would God punish or make scared or anything his bride? No. So any scripture that makes me scared or afraid or something like that concerning this, then I think, no, that's not for me because I'm the bride.
What's the scripture say? He's not given us a spirit of
fear.
Fear, right? Perfect love casts out
fear.
All fear. There is no fear. That was my problem with the pandemic. It's because those that were saying they were scientists and knew what was happening, they were engendering fear. So it could not be right and it could not be correct because truth does not bring fear.
Amen.
Yes, Peter.
Most of the letters to the churches give some pretty dire warnings to the church.
Yeah.
Truth.
But a warning is what?
Well, it's a warning. If you don't repent, you can get smacked in the head. And
that's right. But that doesn't cause me any fear. Just like it didn't cause it. No, it didn't cause me fear when my father said, "Don't put your finger in the outlet."
Right.
Right. Because when you put your finger in the outlet, it's going to hurt.
But it's if.
Yeah.
Big if there.
He says, don't commit adultery. But if you do commit adultery, it's going to hurt. Don't thieve. Don't murder. Don't bear false witness. All the Ten Commandments are warnings. You're correct. And the if you decide to do it, which he says you can, right? Then the consequences are going to be such and such and such, and you're not going to like them.
All things are permissible, but what is profitable?
Yeah. So yes, the New Testament is full of warnings. It tells us what we can do and what we cannot do. It becomes a source of fear when we don't want to do it. It becomes a source of warning when we take it as inspired word of God and we want to do it.
Well, I'm not suggesting to be afraid. I'm just saying that there are consequences for disobedience, and
exactly it
lays
right.
them out pretty strongly.
And that's a deterrent.
Yeah.
What God meant it to be is a deterrent. That's what God meant it to be. When he said, an eye for an eye, right? Remember? He that murders will be killed, right? He said that. And we have a time with that now because God put it as a deterrent. When he said, kill all the Palestinians, he put it as a deterrent. Because he knew they would intermarry with them, and he knew that good is easily corrupted by evil. It's just human nature. God knows us well. Amen. He knows human nature. How many women and how many men have married an unsaved person saying they're going to bring them to Christ? And most of them end up where? Yeah. Yeah. They never achieve their goals, sad to say.
No.
That's why he said, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It wasn't something to make us, it's the unbelievers are the prettiest ones. That's what I told my father and got slapped.
But even in that, the Lord would warn his bride. Right, Peter? I mean, he would warn her to stop her from doing something, but that's
right.
Not fear-based.
Yeah.
That's love, actually.
It is. We did that with our children all the time. How do you look at a parent if you see them in Walmart and there's no guidelines, there are no no's ever said to that child?
Right.
What do you think about that parent?
They're weak.
You know what I think? They're going to be visiting somebody in jail. Because you've got to understand, fear is not what God uses.
That's right.
God uses a prediction.
That's right.
To inspire obedience. You do this, you get this.
It hurts to watch.
Yeah. You obey me, and this is what happens.
Yeah.
Right? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing will make them stumble. Obedience is better than
sacrifice.
And Saul learned the hard way, did he not? His kingdom gets ripped from him. So it's important to understand, make a difference between a fear that's inspired by the enemy and the fear that is a reverence to obedience inspired by God and his word. There's a big difference between the two.
You can look at it the other way too. You know, cancer is something that many, many people are afraid of,
yeah.
Whether they are Christians or not. And so you get cancer, a Christian gets cancer and their whole being is a different person. That fear is calmed most of the time. If you are really of God, then your fears are relieved and calm, and you know that everything's going to be okay no matter what happens. So, I mean, I think that's where the spirit takes over.
Yeah, well, starting from the point of view that cancer is a result of the curse, it does not come from God. Now, yes, he allows it, because he could keep us from getting it. Let's not be naive. He is omnipotent. But he also says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. See? And there's a lot of garbage in our society that causes a lot of stuff. We were talking about it before the service began with Joel and Peter. there's a lot of stuff going on. You just can't trust anybody anymore. You just can't. You have to trust the Lord. Isn't that a little bit better?
That's it.
Right? Right? He takes me, he takes me. I'll never forget the reaction of that drunk that pointed the gun at my father at point blank range within a foot of his head and said, I'm going to shoot you right now. And my father went, yeah, do it, do it. I want to go see Jesus. Shoot me. What are you waiting for? Shoot me. And the guy ran off scared to death saying, he's crazier than I am. Drunk out of his head. A different perspective on death. I saw it when we went to see the oncologist. Didn't know what to do with my father. Well, you're going to have the chemotherapy? No, I don't need it. And then the doctor was a bit dumb. Why? He asked my father why. The dumbest question on planet Earth. So Dad told him, I'm going to go be with the Lord. I want to die. I want to get out of here. My wife's gone. My son's serving the Lord. He doesn't need me around anymore. I just want to go. I've served my time. I'm 88 years old. I want to get out of here. Boy, they could not, just did not understand or could cope with that. See, that is what you're talking about. There is a fear of God that is all through the Word of God. But it means a reverence unto obedience. I don't want the consequences, therefore I will obey. Because obedience is easy. What makes it hard is the flesh. That's what makes it hard. See? So he gives us the parable of Job. Matthew 24, 43 through 44. I can't get anywhere in this Bible study, Joel. It's just lasting forever.
Well, you're the one that keeps talking.
Thank you, Joel. Love you, man.
Cut that out. You can. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night this thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
That's right. I can be ready. Right? I can be ready without fear. I can be ready with anticipation, right? Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever gone to an airport to wait for somebody to come back? Mm-hmm. You'll do it, Luke, for Rebecca to come back. Now, you went there. We used to be able to go right in and receive them. Remember? How many remember that, right? You used to go in and receive. What do you need, dear? Oh, Xiaoyan doesn't have the papers?
You gave me some, but it does not have page 12. Like, it goes from page 1 to 9.
What did I get? I gave her the wrong one?
You gave me...
No, those are the old ones. You've got the old ones, right?
She has 1 to 9.
It's from 1 to 9.
Oh, no, you don't have the new ones. I'm so sorry. They're over here. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you. I'm sorry, Xiaoyan. Where was I?
We're on page 12.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, here's Lou at the airport. And now there's been a dispensation of grace, and he's allowed to go right in and receive his wife when she gets off the plane. And here he is. Boy, I hope that plane doesn't crash on the way down. I hope that plane doesn't crash on the way down.
Is that you, Lou?
No fear.
No! Anticipation! I'm going to get to hug her. Oh, I'm not going to let her go for a while. Yeah, you wait till I get you home, honey. Yeah. All this great anticipation, it's got to be the same because we're the bride of Christ. We don't fear his coming. We look forward to his coming. He's coming in an hour that we do not expect. But we've got all these prophecies that tell us the boat or around when he's coming, which is now. Right? It doesn't cause, we must be ready. Okay? It does. This verse, Jesus' words in Matthew 24, does not do anything against what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5. And then the two servants, Matthew 24, 45 through 51, Debbie.
Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions.
Can I stop right there a minute? Remember I've told you about degrees of reward in heaven? Here we have it, right? Okay, continue.
But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Is there any problem for the servants that are faithful if the master's delayed?
No.
They're going to keep being faithful. No big deal. No big deal. The problem is for that one that's doing what he knows is wrong. Right? You never understand. I got away with murder in some of the things I did when I was a teenager. That make a preacher blush. But all the time I was doing them, I was afraid my father was going to catch me. Because my father was severe. When you got punished, you knew you got punished. But when I was doing what was right, there was no fear. No problem at all. I remember we had mopped the church. We had to take all the pews, put them on the platform. Our platform was twice the size of this one. We had to put all the pews on the platform because they weren't fastened down and the floor was tiled. And we had to mop the whole thing. And we were laying on the platform, my best friend and I, and we were just talking when my father came in. No fear at all. What are you doing? We're waiting for the floor to dry, Dad. Oh. No fear at all because we were doing nothing wrong. Now, had the pews still been out there, the floor not mopped, and we were just fooling around, that would have been different. See? And then the wise and foolish virgins. The wise and foolish virgins. We've referenced this several times. I'm going to read this. We've referenced this several times in Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Who are the virgins?
The believers.
Believers. Right? Who's the bridegroom?
Jesus.
Jesus. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. Now, the foolish here, he explains why they were foolish. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. They left on a trip with the car on a quarter of a tank of gas.
That's me.
That's who?
You're foolish.
Me.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know, but I do.
Fill the car up. I worked with an evangelist in Mexico, and we had a 15-passenger van, and he was forever just putting $5 in gas in it.
Oh,
I said to him, I said, brother, you don't have any money in your bank account? You can't fill it up? Oh, I'd fill it up, but $5 is enough. So we were stopping every time we turned around to put gas in it. $5 here, $5. A Ford 15-passenger, one-ton van. They got about 10, 12 miles to the gallon. So $5 didn't go anywhere, or 5 gallons didn't go anywhere. But that's what he did. See, they went, they were foolish because they did not anticipate a delay. Okay? But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. The bridegroom was delayed. They all became drowsy and slept. Every last one of them, all 10. At midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some oil. Some of your oil for our lamps are going out. Hadn't gone out. They're going out. They still did not know when the bridegroom was going to come, right? See? But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came along saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Now remember, all this is being said before what great, incredible event that is wonderful for you and I. Well, two events. Yes, Luke. It's on the tip of your tongue.
Not the resurrection.
Yes, well, the death and resurrection, correct. And what's the second one?
Pentecost.
Yes, the coming of the Holy Ghost. They did not have that. Jesus had not yet died. They were still offering sacrifices in the temple for the forgiveness of sins. Right? So they did not have the right to go into the temple. The veil had not been rent yet. The Holies of Holies was not open. No, this is all before that. Jesus is given the context in the context that they could believe, that they could relate to. Luke chapter 12, verse 37, rather. Xiao Yan.
Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them.
Glory to God. Those of us who are ready are going to be in a very advantageous place. It's going to be fantastic, will it not? Right? Now, the fact that he's coming, and I put in there in the first part of your notes, the difference, the definition of intimacy. His coming is imminent. His coming is not immediate. Yes?
Oh, not to be bad, but it would have been nice had they kind of shared the oil, though. I was thinking.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, but it would have been.
But think of it this way. They had just announced that the bridegroom was coming. He had not yet come. Mm-hmm. And they did not know how much longer it was going to be between the time that they were talking about now and the time that he came. Have you ever used an oil lamp?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yes. You got to keep putting oil in it if you're going to keep it going. Yeah. And if you don't have any oil, it goes out. Now, we know these were the type of lamps that had the wick in them because they trimmed them. So it's obvious that they trimmed their lamps. They get up and trim their lamps. I believe that indicates the lamps have gone out while they were asleep. Because if you've ever had one of those lamps, that the wick burns down and it gets down all the way to where it's grabbed so that you can turn it up or down, and it goes out because it gets smothered. So they have to go and turn it up, get it up, cut it, because that's what we used to do, right? And then light it and watch it, make sure it's going to get going. So they had no idea, Lou, how long it would be before he came. And they had X amount of oil with them. That's it. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about five of them, and five had extra flasks. It doesn't say they took flasks of oil with their lamps. So we don't know if they had one flask or two. If they had two flasks, they probably could have given one. But maybe they didn't. Maybe they just had one. We don't know. The fact that we do know is that they thought they would not have enough if they gave them any. That we do know. Right?
It's just a parable anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a parable? So what does the lamp and the oil actually represent? The Holy Spirit?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why he said, I never knew you, because the Holy Spirit wasn't in them?
No. No, that had nothing to do with it. He didn't know them because they weren't ready when he came. See, there was no way for him to know whether they were imposters or not, because the door was shut.
So what did they do or not do? What did the ones who built
They didn't take oil, extra oil with them.
To
to be prepared.
So when he came, their lamps were not lit.
Preparation.
Yeah, they did not prepare for his coming. Are we not warned all through Scripture to watch and pray and be ready?
So it's about obedience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Amen. So, the fact that Jesus' coming is imminent is more than just incidental when we're talking about the righteous. Way more. We have to understand, nothing needs to take place right now for the Lord to return, for his church. Now, if we believe that the church goes through the tribulation period before the rapture occurs, then there's a lot to be done, a lot to be fulfilled. We got the first 3.5 years to go through. And when we study the tribulation period later, we're going to learn how exact that really is. How exact. See, think of it this way. Do you think that it's a question of whether or not China will try to retake Taiwan? It's not a question of whether or not, right?
When.
It's a question of when. That's the same for the coming of the Lord. Yes, Yao-Yang.
So, here he said, we'll cut them in pieces and put them with the hypocrites. Who are the hypocrites? Matthew, so on top of page 13.
Yeah.
Who are the hypocrites? Are they the unbelievers?
Yeah, no, hypocrites are worse than unbelievers. Hypocrites are those who pretend to be and are not.
Mm.
See? A hypocrite is someone who pretends he is something when he's not.
Yeah, but they're unbelievers?
Yeah, well, they're unbelievers because they're not obeying. Remember, believing is synonymous with obedience, correct? Because if I believe the Word of God, I'm going to obey the Word of God. If I don't believe the Word of God, I won't obey the Word of God. Hence, hypocrite.
So the servant who's like beating the fellow servants, he is the hypocrite?
Yeah.
So like God would just like put him with the other hypocrites?
Yeah.
And so when God take the obedient ones,
They get a reward,
which is like rapture. Is it rapture?
Rapture and or reward in heaven when they get there. Yeah.
So the wise virgin. So they get to taken up, and then so the ones that claim to be, and they should know that these are taken up, right? So they. And then so. When they are taken up, then they should know that it's their day is
they're
coming.
They're smart enough than her.
So they should know that their day is coming.
Yeah.
So when the rapture happens, so the rest of the world, like especially the disobedient believers, they will know when it's happening, right? Like,
they'll know what has happened.
They will know.
Yeah, but it's going to be way too late, mm-hmm. just like this says. Now they got to go into the tribulation period.
But some will be saved in the tribulation.
Millions upon millions.
So could some of those ones?
Oh, they will. It probably will be.
Okay.
Because if they take the mark of the beast, they're going to hell.
Okay.
And they know that. The big difficulty is going to be that we've never been down this road. We've got fellow Christians that live under the shadow of death every single day in other countries. We don't know what that's all about.
Right.
We have no idea. But they understand what it's going to be like. I really don't know. It's just like coming to the house of God. How in the world is someone going to want to go to heaven where there's worshiping the Lord for all eternity when they can't get to the house of God for an hour here on earth?
That's right.
You wonder. See, thank God he's the one that's going to sort it all out, right? Because, man, it would stretch my brain way beyond its capabilities. Yeah, they will not take the mark of the beast, and they will be killed. This went through my mind when I was growing up all the time. I've told you about the times I would go in and my parents wouldn't be in their bed and their clothes were just laid out nice as if they'd come out of them. And my heart fell down to my feet. I knew. And I ran into the church and there they were praying. I said, phew, thank God I escaped. And I should have got down at the altar right where they were and prayed with them. That's what I should have done. But I didn't. You see, I said to myself, well, if the rapture took place, I just won't take the mark of the beast, cavalier. Well, it's not going to be that easy. It's not going to be that easy.
You're hungry, man. You'll do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except when you're faced hell or heaven.
Well, yeah, but...
And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the word says.
But you're hungry.
Yeah, you're hungry. You'd rather die than go to hell, that's for sure.
Let's pray so.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people make those choices. A lot of people make those choices. So, you know, you could go find a black mamba and let him bite you five times. Then you'd be all set. Then you're gone. Right? So, we need to understand it's imminent. It may not be immediate. So then comes the question, why in the world the delay? Why in the world is God delaying his coming?
So everyone can hear the word.
Yep. We're going to get into this a little bit, but have you ever taken a flight and you get to the gate and they make the announcement? This flight has been delayed. Mm-hmm. 1 hour, 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Has that ever happened to anybody?
Yeah. They didn't tell you that.
Well, they've told us that. They've told you that, Lou, right?
Yeah.
They've told you that, Debbie, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And how does it make you feel?
They don't tell you that.
They give you a timetable. You build your plans around that timetable. And you expect them to be on time, right?
And they're not.
And when they're not, you're tempted to fly off at the handle, right? Now, I'm so glad I wasn't aboard any of those flights that went into the World Trade Center. Aren't you? Right? There was another flight, United Flight 857 from San Francisco to Shanghai on March 2012. I follow the plane crashes because I love to fly. And it departed San Francisco at 2 in the afternoon on Sunday. Flight time was going to be just 13 hours. 3 hours in, the plane was diverted to Anchorage, Alaska. The problem had to do with the bathrooms. There weren't enough functional laboratories to ensure everyone's comfort on a long flight. I mean, to the men, you could have passed out soda bottles. I mean, really.
Oh, but,
so when it landed in Anchorage, the passengers were forced to remain on board for 90 minutes. Has that ever happened to anybody? Where you've boarded the plane and it can't leave because of some problems and you sit there for over an hour, over 2 hours?
Yep.
That's more frustrating than it happening inside the airport.
And you gotta get back out.
Because there's nothing like being in a tin can shut up.
With no air conditioning.
Yeah, sometimes there isn't any. Yeah. And one time it happened to me and it was cold, no problem. I had a coat. And the other time it happened in Colombia and there was no air conditioning and it got hot in there. And everybody was sweating. Some people had good deodorant, some people had not so good deodorant. So you know, when we took off, it smelled like a locker room in there. After the Super Bowl, it was nasty. Okay, 90 minutes while the air traffic controllers arrange for a gate. That's how long it took them to find a gate in Anchorage for this plane to pull up to. They were given vouchers for one meal and a hotel. Has that ever happened to anybody? Now, who was it that just flew?
Leah.
And they got a voucher?
Leah, wasn't it?
It was Leah, and they got a voucher and a hotel, but the voucher wasn't enough to take care of the food because it was old costs and not new costs. I think the voucher for an evening meal was $25. You can't eat at McDonald's for $25 anymore in an airport. A cup of coffee is $5. A bottle of water. I paid $6 for a bottle of water. I mean, give me a break. That leaves you, if you get the water, it leaves you just $19 for the meal. What can you get for $19? A quesadilla, maybe. But, and they were told then, come back the next day. Next day, another delay. New flight was scheduled to depart at 1 p.m. the following day on a replacement plane. The plane will be here. It's going to be here, but it's delayed 2 hours. After boarding, they were informed that the replacement plane was malfunctioning. So they pried themselves out of their seats, they retrieved their luggage, and they returned to the terminal. Every time, they're retrieving their luggage and they're returning to the terminal. Going through TSA again. How many love that? Right? On Tuesday, now remember, Sunday's when they left. On Tuesday, a third plane finally departed Anchorage and successfully made it to Shanghai. Do you think the passengers were just a little bit apprehensive about their plans? See, we don't like delays, do we? They're frustrating, they're annoying, right, Lou? What other adjective?
It's a hassle.
Oh yeah, it's horrendous. It's horrendous.
18 hours in the ER waiting to be seen.
Oh yeah, but you know when you go to the ER, that's what's going to happen.
18?
Now, in Puerto Rico, in North Carolina, it's easy to get seen quickly because you go into the ER and it's full. And then you yell, "Migra!" and it's empty.
Immigration.
Oh,
that's what a guy did. Oh, I was sitting goodness. Right there oh, when he goodness. Did it, and it was empty. And the triage nurse says, "You're next, sir." He says, "Good, finally."
Oh, that's, oh, wow.
Or you go in with severe chest pains. Now, my aunt went in with severe abdominal pain. She ended up having to have her gallbladder up. But she went in with severe abdominal pains and she was triaged right away. There's some things they won't wait for. You can't breathe. You've got severe chest pains. And you've got severe abdominal pains that have you doubled over. They're going to try to find out what's going on. But if you're there, I've watched people sit there with real bad cuts, bandaged up, and they just sit there and sit there and sit there. We don't like that, do we? Right? I don't know what it's like. Have they resolved the strait at Albany Med yet? Does anybody know?
Have they what?
The strike.
Oh, the strike.
Yeah, they turned it down again. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in the ER there?
I don't think they've gone on strike yet.
Huh?
I don't think they've gone on strike yet.
Oh, they haven't?
No.
Because they were picketing.
They're still talking about it.
Okay. All right, can you imagine what it's going to be like?
Yeah, it's an informational picket yeah. now.
Now, the Bible's full of shortly, right? Shortly. Okay, Revelation 1:1-3. Who is it? Jenny.
Did you say shortly?
Yes. Shortly.
The Bible is full. Oh, shortly. The actual shortly. Word.
Yes. Yeah.
Got
it. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on, Jenny.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the thing that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near.
The time is near. Right? Soon. Now, the King James says shortly, but the English Standard Version says soon take place. That's what we've been hearing. I got saved in 1963. I got saved in 1963, filled with the Holy Ghost in 1964, and have been preaching since 1966. And I have preached this from day one. 1966, how many years ago?
A lot. Let's just say that.
48.
Huh?
58.
58 years. Okay? For 58 years, and for longer than that, because ever since I was born, this is what I heard. Back in the 50s and the 60s, that's all you heard. Every second sermon was Jesus is coming. It was a lot more prevalent than it is today. Well, and not in this church, but in other churches. We emphasize it quite a bit in this church. Jesus is coming soon. That's what we say. Jesus is coming soon. And yet, you know, if I tell Leah, I'm going down to the store, you ask me to go get you a bottle, a gallon of milk, I'll be right back.
She expects you back within the hour.
Isn't that what Jesus said? I'll be right back. Yep. I'll be back soon. I'm just going to run down. I'm going to be at, she knows how far it is to Cumberland Farms or to Stewart's in Nassau. She knows how long it is. See? Now, she's not the type that if I did spend an hour because I saw somebody in Stewart's that I wanted to talk to, so we sat there and talked for an hour. No, she knows what I'm like, so she doesn't get up. But I've seen others get real upset. Well, I know it only takes 10 minutes there and 10 minutes back. What took you so long? Right? Try that with the Lord. What took you so long, Lord? Right?
So that's from God's perspective?
A day is like 1,000 years.
Yeah, well, we're gonna do that next week. Amen. Questions. We're going to look at this next week. Questions.
Another interesting term tonight was disobedient believer.
Disobedient believer.
And I was like, it was like kind of in my mind saying, you know, that's an interesting term. That is, you know, at one time I would consider myself a disobedient believer.
Well, there's no trouble in believing it, Lou, if you consider one of the family of God, and He is our heavenly
Father,
and we are His
children.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any children?
I do. Yeah.
You do. Okay. Were they ever disobedient children?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh yeah. But they were still children. Mm-hmm. Right? Because I can't judge you as to when you might get to the point where you'd like them not to be children any longer, right? Mm-hmm. Because some children have made their parents get to that point in time where they want to disown them because everything they do is against what they've been taught. But with God, it's a little different. Because, yes, I can be a disobedient child of God, but the Lord is going to mark it in your book. He's going to make circumstances such that you're going to want to turn and be obedient. Right? Right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same as a hypocrite, though.
No, no, no. A hypocrite doesn't want to. You know a good description of hypocrite? Is the good senator from Massachusetts. What's her name? Just left my mind.
Warren.
Huh?
Warren, Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren that said she was American Indian. That's a hypocrite. Because she knew she wasn't and she said she was. That's a hypocrite. Someone wanting to be something other than what they are for their own advantage. And that was to her advantage so she could get a scholarship and pay less for college.
Well, that would be common.
Yeah.
She was never middle class.
Yeah, yeah, that's another one, a hypocrite. Yeah, she was never middle class. Her mother was a professor. Her father was a professor.
What about someone not, you know, not judging or anything, but someone that's in church, let's say, and then they walk out, and then they're, you know, using, you know, maybe not the greatest word.
They're not saved. Mm-hmm. And that's not judging, Luke.
That's not a hypocrite?
No, that's a hypocrite.
That is a hypocrite, right?
But that's not judging. Remember, we went through this. I explained to you what God told me the difference between judging and fruit inspection is. Mm-hmm. If I hear them taking God's name in vain, that's the key. Taking God's name in vain. I know, A, they don't love the Lord, or they wouldn't be so cavalier with his name. I love Leah, and I don't drag her name through the mud. She loves me. She doesn't drag my name through the mud. In fact, she'll defend me. I mean, I can remember when some of my friends said, oh man, he's a homosexual. And she looked right at him and said, I'll tell you right now, he's no homosexual. She defended me. She knew, see? She wasn't gonna let them drag my name through the mud. So you go out there, judging would be, why are they talking like that? That's judging. None of your business why they're doing it. Fruit inspection is, they're taking the name of the Lord in vain. They don't love him very much. That's fruit inspection. See? There's a difference. I don't care why they're doing it. The fact that they're doing it, like I told you, that I had a fellow in my first church that was a deacon in the church, and he refused to bring tithes to the house of the Lord. So when the annual meeting came around, I took the church in November. The annual meeting's in February, January, the end of January, 1st of February. And I told him he couldn't be a deacon. And he said, why? I said, because you're a thief. And I don't want thieves on the deacon board. And he looked at me. I said, I didn't call you that. God called you that. What do you mean? So I read it to him. I says, is that plain? Do you understand that, Willie? He says, yeah, I understand it. I'll withdraw my name. See? Now, I don't care why he didn't pay and bring his tithe. That doesn't matter to me. What mattered to me was the fruit inspection. He wasn't bringing his tithe. I did not know what it was. I just asked the treasurer, here's the list of the names of those that have been nominated to the deacon board. Put a check mark beside those that bring their tithes in faithfully and leave it blank those that do not. And she went and checkmarked them all, but his name. So I laid it in front of him, and I said, this is what the treasurer said. I don't know what or anything. I did know he was the highest paid man in the church. But I also knew his car never ran. He had a brand new trailer and nothing worked on it, and he couldn't get any warranty work to be done on it. They refused. His septic system froze up every single winter. We had other people in the church with trailers that never froze. He had trouble after trouble after trouble. And I explained to him, says, Willie, God's going to get the 10% whether you like it or not. You can't have it because you say you love God. And he says, for those that love God, 10% belongs to him. So he's not going to let you keep it. So you're going to give it to the plumber, you're going to give it to the mobile home company, you're going to give it to the mechanic, but you're not going to get to keep it. And if truth would be known, it was a lot more than 10%. It was upwards of 30 that it ended up. And then one of his boys got killed in a drunken problem. He just had all kinds of problems. See? So the difference between judging and fruit inspection is judging. I want to know why, and I communicate why, and I analyze. No, none of my business. Fruit inspection is, that's what they're doing. That's it. You know? Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. So-and-so's committing adultery. Well, he's committing adultery. Do you know why, Pastor? I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. That's between him and God, if he's a Christian.
If you see that, do you tell them?
The Bible says if you see your brother in a sin, in error, or in a fault, it uses the word fault, you go to them in love.
What if it comes back and bites you?
So what? You're dead.
You're right. You're right.
Right? I've absolved my responsibility by going to them. Beyond that, it's God's business.
Amen.
Because remember what he said to Ezekiel. If I say to the wicked, you'll die in your sin, and you don't warn the wicked, and he dies in his sin, his blood I'll require at your hand.
That's right.
But if you warn the wicked, then you have freed your soul, Ezekiel said, and you're no longer responsible for his blood. So it's the same principle in the New Testament. I've warned a lot of people. As a pastor, you have to. I've warned a lot of people, and they've looked me right in the face and said, you're wrong. I says, okay, no problem. I've done what I had to do, and I'm not going to do anything else. That's it. Now it's your business, God. What you do, Bonnie, when you fulfill the word of God is you free yourself from that responsibility. And then you can leave it, and it doesn't.
They can sure make you feel guilty, though, for...
That's because you... Excuse me, you left.
What do you mean?
You left. You just said to me, it makes you feel guilty. It makes Bonnie feel guilty. Who's doing the feeling?
Oh, you're right.
Bonnie's doing the feeling. So Bonnie should... I never feel guilty, ever, because they can't. Of course, my brother and sister said, you can't tease Bill. He's unteasable.
That's why I like coming here, because yeah. You're so uplifting.
My sister beat me on the back one time so hard, it hurt. And I turned to my brother and said, Paul, I think a mosquito just landed on my back. She got so mad, she ran away crying. She went to Dad and said, he hit me. And Paul said, Dad, Bill did not hit her, she hit him. It is what it is. All right, any other questions?